This is The Horror, which you can find every Saturday at RelicRadio.com. Thanks for joining me this week. Our horror story comes from Nightfall, a series that originally aired from July of 1980 to May of 1983 over Canada's CBC radio stations. Over 100 episodes were produced. 29 of those would be rebroadcast over NPR stations, including the one we'll hear today. It aired March 19th, 1982. It's titled From My Appointed Place Below. This NPR broadcast was from June 11th, 1982. Here it is, Nightfall.
National Public Radio. NPR Playhouse presents Nightfall.
In the dream, you are falling, lost in the listening distance. As dark locks in. Nightfall. Good evening. The Celtic world is rich with stories of vengeance, of treachery, and broken promises. And some of the very best have come from the pen of Sir Walter Scott. Tonight's play, based on Scott's Wandering Willie's tale in the novel Red Gauntlet, has been dramatized by John Douglas. He calls it From My Appointed Place Below.
Oh, thank you, sir. Just your arm, if you please, to what over the stony ground. It is a hard thing to be blind. Oh, I've often heard tell how the best practices of my poor craft, the poets and the papers and the storytellers, how they were sightless too. I've heard men speak of the greatest of us all, of the old Greek, him that sang of the lords and knights of Troy, though his eyes was as dead as any sign. But you can, I wasn't born blind to smell my way across the ground like this. It was all on account of the red gauntlets and the curse that followed them down the years, aye, and followed all that served them like me. I'll tell you the tale if you like. I've no other way to pay you for your kindness till I pipe for my supper at the next inn. Listen then, while I tell you how I went a journey to seek my master beyond grave. You must have heard that Sir Robert Redgauntlet of that elk who sowed fire and terror in the Highlands years are gone in the killing time. The country will long mind him. Our fathers used to draw breath thick to hear him named, and the man that didn't heed his silver whistle that he blew to command us all was a dead man.
Dougal MacCallum!
Aye, Sir Robert!
There's a whole village of whigs and traitors at the head of the glen. Ready a firebrand to burn the lot. I want you four fresh corpses this night to meet King James' smile.
Aye!
Sir Robert was a fierce Tory and red hot for King James Stuart and the bishop. He rode through Scotland rampaging like a lion with the King's commission to put down all the Covenanters and the Whigs and the poor Presbyterians that fled to the hills only to worship the good Lord in their own way and read the Bible for themselves.
Stamp them out, Sir King Jimmy. Oh, aye, grinned Sir Robert. And wild work he made of it. Now hear me, you damned heretics and traitors. Will ye swear allegiance to his secret majesty, King James II, and to the priests of the one true church? I'll make no more ceremony with ye than a Highlandman with a roebuck. Will ye take the test? My soldiers, match ready! Present!
For God of vengeance, give him what to drink! Fire!
Dougal? Dougal MacCallum? Aye. Some of these damned covenanters escaped and flitted into the hills. To horse! Unleash the hounds, Dougal! Aye. We'll run them to ground behind.
I'm only seen his steam from the poor crosser scrambling a living on Sir Robert Redgauntlet's ground and behind with my rent at that. Were it not for my piping, Sir Robert would have turned me off long afore. So I rode with supers and his lackeys and saw muckle measure. I maybe did some that I couldn't avoid. But oh, dear Lord, forgive me. I made some fine tunes and tales of it all. Well, at long last and long last, there came an end to all the riding and killing. Round came the revolution far away in London town, and it'd like to have broken the heart of Sir Robert Redgauntlet.
Hell, fire, and damnation! Oh, the devil, out with them all. Doodle, where in the hell are you?
Here, Sir Robert. What is it? Why so hot?
Oh, there's been a revolution in London. King Jamie is down and fled away to France. And that unhanged Dutchman William of Orange is king.
Wigs up, Tories down, to the way of the world, Your Honor.
Ah, man, you've got no sense. The bloody Whigs are crowing everywhere what they'll do now to their old enemies.
And in special with me.
No, no, Sir Robert. I tell you, Parliament will pass it all easy.
On a call day in hell, they will. They'll see me swinging from the gallows on Castle Rock or banned alive for a warlock at Edinburgh.
Wait, Sir Robert, think now. There's o'er many great folk dipped in the same doings to make the world over spick and span. I may have your risk.
Of course I am. Your revel will be as loud and your hall as well lighted as ever was.
Barring, of course, the fines and confiscations we used to take from the Whigs, I'm afraid we'll need a wee bit of economy here and there. Money will not flow so free now, more's the pity.
Well, me see. Hear me, Dougal. I'll have no more tenants behindhand with the rent.
Is not Steenie Steenson missing his payment last Whit Sunday?
Aye, Sir Robert. He got it put o'er with fair words and piping.
Oh, damn his piping. The man's got the finest finger for a back lilt between Berwick and Carlisle. If he doesn't pay next quarter, I'll throw him off my ground.
He'll have the silver, Your Honor. He swears.
Oh, the worse for him. Dougal, send him a summons to come with the money on a day precise, or tell Steenie it behooves him to flit.
Sore work I had to get the silver. But I begged and I borrowed and I piped till I had scarce breath left to wheeze. But at last I scraped it all together and away I trotted to Redgauntlet Castle with a heavy purse and a light heart.
Steenie, man, you're late. The laird fretted himself into a fit of the gout because you were no here sooner.
Well, the money's all here, Dougal.
It's no entirely the money. He doesn't want to lose you off his ground. Hurry now, and mind what you see. He's in a terrible pain and temper. I never saw him look so gash and ghastly. And the Major is with him.
Major Weir? The jackanapes?
Hush! It's best not say its name. The creature hears through walls. They're waiting for us, both of them, in the oak parlor. Come away, quick!
Robert lay in a great armchair in a grand velvet gown with his feet on a cradle, yearning and groaning in pain. And right beside him crouched his pet jackanapes, Major Weir.
like one of them monkey devil gods that he worship. An ill-favored cankered beast it was that ran chattering and yelling about the cattle. It pinched and bit and played ill-natured tricks, especially before ill weather or disturbances in the state. The instant he saw me, Sir Robert gave me a look with wither the heart in the beam.
Ah, ye come right-handed, ye son of a tomb whistle. So zooms if you are.
Here it is, Your Honor.
$250. Oh. Ah, quiet, you devil thief.
Can you no see I'm in pain? Oh, he mocks me, Steenie. My own Jack and Ethan, he mocks me. But he doesn't like fire, do you, my pretty? How does he like a candle flame? In its peace. I named him for a friend of mine, Steenie, a certain Major Weir, was burned at the stake for a wizard. I sometimes think this jackanape remembers the flames, don't you, my sweet?
Please, Your Honor, can I have my receipt?
Oh, aye. Do go. Give Steenie a tot of brandy while I count the silver and write the receipt.
Aye, Sir Robert.
You undoodle, you lazy cunt. Bring cool water for my leg. It's on fire.
At once, Sir Robert.
950. 1,000 marks. Well, Steenie, you're out of your lord's danger. For the no. Hand me the pen.
Oh, here it is, Your Honor.
Oh, hell and fire. I'm wrapped in flames. Water, Dougal. Water for my leg. It's burning. Aye. Burning.
And Steenie, wine for my throat. It's on fire.
Here's the water, Sir Robert.
Give it. Pour. Dougal, you burnt me. The devil rend you, you poor boiling water.
Sir Robert, it just came cold from the well this minute.
Your wine, Sir Robert. Wine for your poor throat.
Blood. Damn you, you're giving me blood instead of burgundy.
Kill that jackanape. Kill the devil, quick.
Sir Robert, my God. Cover his face.
Is he gone then?
Where the wicked cease from troubling.
Look, the water. Cold when I brought it. Look at it now. It's still steaming.
Do you think the wine tasted?
Oh, never.
Then I will.
Sick. And salt.
Salt. All the poor people he killed, their prayers were answered.
Away I ran after that, but never a thought of the money back or the receipt. Dougal MacCallum, poor body, neither groaned nor wept, but went about his duty directing all the order of the grand funeral. I knew Dougal would stand witness for me come what might. But on the third night of his watch for old Sir Robert, Dougal got an order he couldn't disobey. Another tass of brandy, Hudson?
No, Dougal. I've watched too long already. I must be getting to bed. Robert in his coffin across the hall there. He'll never miss us now.
Did I miss me? I'll have a last bit of brandy myself, then.
It's a lonely night you'll be having, then. Not a soul in the whole tower but yourself and the dead. There's no man that'd be a guest at his wake.
Hudson, stay a moment for old time's sake. Wigan,
it's almost midnight, Dougal.
Long life and health to you, Hutchin.
Well, and to you too, Dougal.
No, Hutchin, for myself. I'm no long for this world.
What's that you say? Hutchin,
every night since Sir Robert's death, his silver whistle has sounded from the chamber there he lies, just as it used to do all the nights of his lifetime, calling me to help turn him in his bed. Being alone, you came. I never dared answer these last two nights, but
If you stay tonight, Hutchins, when he calls, I'll go to him.
Lord, deliver us.
You, he may, Hutchins, but my duty is to my laird. Though death breaks duty, it shall never break mine to Sir Robert. I'll answer his next whistle, so you will stand by me, Hutchins.
Dougal, I stood by in battle and broil. I'll not fail you now.
Save you, old friend.
Will you not say, God save us, Dougal?
I cannot. There now, midnight. Let's have a body ballad or two, Hutchins, to welcome the old sinner.
Let's have the ballad of Baby Lindsay.
Oh, pray, Dougal, pray.
Hush, this time. Listen.
All's well, Sir Robert. I'm coming.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want.
Walk with me, Hutchins. Walk with me to him.
He maketh me to lie down in green pastures.
Dinner fast yourself, Sir Robert. I'm coming to my duty.
He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul.
Help me with the door, Hutchins. He prepareth a table before me in the presence of my enemies.
Dougal! Dougal! Is the power fiend himself in the coffin?
Sir Robert, old acquaintance, Hutchins, a friend.
When they found Hutchins, he lay at the door like one in a trance. And Dougal was stretched upon his master's coffin, cold and dead as any stone. Somehow they hushed the matter up and made all ready for the new layer. He hadn't been up from London a day when I was summoned before him. A marvelous different man from his father was Sir John Redgauntlet. A douce man, a soft and sleeked on the outside.
Come forward, man. Don't hang about the door. I'm not going to eat you.
I wish you joy, sir, of the head seat, and the white loaf, and the broad lairdship.
Thank you for your good wishes.
Your father was a kind man, sir, to friends and followers, and muckle grace to you to fill his shoon. Shoes.
Yes, well. Alas, Steenie, his was a sudden call. No time to set his house in order. Well-prepared Godwood, no doubt, which is the root of the matter, but he has left us a tangled thread to wind. We must go to business, Steenie. Much to do and little time to do it in. The rent book will be familiar to you, I'm sure. Here we are. Stephen Stevenson, or Steenie Steenson, as you seem to be called. You are down here for a year's rent behind the hand. 1,000 marks due at last term.
Oh, please, Your Honor, Sir John, I paid it to your father.
You took a receipt then, doubtless Stephen then can produce it.
Indeed. I hadn't a time in it like Your Honor. Your Honor's father, Sir Robert, drew the silver to him to count it, and just when he was about to write the receipt, he was ta'en with the pains that removed him.
That was unlucky. But perhaps you paid it in the presence of somebody. I want but talus qualis evidence, Steenie. I would go all hard to work with no poor man.
Trust, Sir John, there was nobody in the room but Dougal MacCallum, the butler. But as Your Honor knows, he has e'en followed his master.
Very unlucky again, Stephen. The man to whom you paid the money is dead. The man who witnessed the payment is dead, too. And the silver, which should have been to the fore, is nowhere to be found. Now, how am I to believe all this?
I'm sure the man from whom I borrowed the money will take his oath he gave it to me, sir.
I have no doubt you borrowed the money, Steenie. It is the payment to my father that I want proved.
Mayhap some of the servants have seen it, sir.
They have been examined upon the point. Not one of them has ever seen either money or receipt.
But what can I do?
Stephen, I beg in fair terms you will end this nonsense. For Stephen, you must pay or fly the estate.
Oh, the Lord forgive your opinion, sir. I'm an honest man.
Why, so am I, Stephen, and so are all the dwellers in my house, I hope. But if there be a knave amongst us, it must be he that tells the story he cannot prove. Now, sir, where do you suppose this money to be? I insist upon knowing.
Well,
Answer me! I ask where you think it is and demand a correct answer now!
In hell!
if you'll have my thoughts on it, in hell, with your father, his jackanapes, and his damn silver with him.
You devil bankrupt! I'll kneel your hide to the cut door for such a wealth. Come back! Come back, you sly sort! God and wounds, I'll cut you into color!
Down the stairs I ran, and away on my horse as far and as fast as I could go from Red Gauntlet Castle.
That's a brave beast you're riding, friend. But a little hard driven, I think.
Good in to you, sir. Fare you well.
Oh, you don't get rid of me as easily as all that, you know.
What is it that you want with me, friend? If you be a robber, I have no money. If you be a lone man wanting company, I have no heart to mirth or speaking. And if you want to ken the road, I scarce ken it myself.
I am one Steeny who...
Oh, you ken my name?
I know all about you, Steeny. I am one that, though I have been sore miscalled in this world, am the only hand for helping my friend.
Then you know about the missing silver? And Sir Robert's receipt?
It's a hard pinch, but I think I can help you. Shall we ride on?
If you could lend the money, sir, I ken no other help on earth.
But there may be some under the earth. Come, I'll be frank with you. I could lend you the money on bond, but you would maybe scruple my terms. What I can tell you is that your old laird is disturbed in his grave by your curses. If you dare go to see him, he will give you your receipt.
I'll go to the gate of hell itself for that receipt, sir. Aye. And a step further.
That will be far enough. Look ahead of you, through the tree.
But it can't be. Red Gauntlet Castle here in the middle of the wood. And all ablaze with light as if it was on fire.
I believe you know the man there standing in the road.
Dougal. Dougal McCall.
Good evening to you, Steeny. And good evening to your highness.
Good evening, Dougal.
Will your highness accept the hospitality of our group? Sir Robert would be honored.
Thank you, Dougal. No, I am otherwise engaged. My regrets to Sir Robert and the company within. Be a good heart, Steeny, and heed what Dougal tells you.
Oh, fare ye well, sir.
Au revoir, Steeny.
Dougal McCallum. Are you living? I thought you'd been dead.
Never fash yourself with me, but look to yourself and see ye take nothing from anybody here. Neither meat, nor drink, nor silver, but only the receipt that is your own.
The Lord shook up and quickly. What a set of ghastly revelers he were that sat around that table in the great hall of the castle. There gloated the wild bondshaw that tied the blessed minister's limbs till their blood sprang. And Dumbarton Douglas, twice traitor to the country and to king, and a host of the wicked that served him. There was Mary, Queen of Scots, with her strangled husband's head in her lap, and Claverhouse, as beautiful as when he lived with his long, dark locks and his hand over his heart to hide the hole the silver bullet had made. But ever and anon, their smiles were fearfully contorted and their laughter passed into such wild sounds as made my very nails go.
Steeny! Steeny Stinson, come up to the board head! Come up to the board head, I say!
Good ain't you, Sir Robert?
Well, Piper, have you settled with my son for the year's rent?
Alas, Sir Robert, your son will not settle without your honor's receipt.
You shall have that for a tune of the pipe, Steeny. Play us up, wheel hoddled lucky.
That's a witch's tune from the Black Mass, Your Honor.
McCallum, you limit the ills. If I bring Steeny the pipe there that I'm keeping for him.
Never touch them, Steeny, or you're a lost man. The chances of white hot steel to burn away your fingers.
Begging Your Honor's pardon, but I'm faint and frightened and have not wind enough to fill the bag.
Then you more need to drink, Steeny. Do go! That's right, Captain Steeny here.
Sir Robert, I charge you for conscience' sake to spread no snares for me, but give me just the receipt you know you owe me.
Ah, here's your receipt, you pitiful cat. And for the money, tell my dog Wilf of a son that he may go look for it in the cat's cradle.
I thank your honor. Fare you well.
Stop, thou sack doodling son of a whore! Here we do nothing for nothing.
And you must return here this day 12 months to pay me the homage ye owe me for my protection.
I refer myself to God's pleasure, not to you.
I am still of a mind to have you flogged, Steenie, but what am I to say? Hutchin has found the money in the old loft. They call the cat's cradle, just as you said he would. And this receipt, dated this 30th day of April, yesterday, Steenie, from my appointed place below. This is but a queer kind of document, Steenie. We will do best, I think, to put it quietly in the file.
But it's all the voucher I have for my rent, sir.
I will give you a receipt under my own hand this instant. And, Steenie, if you can hold your tongue on the matter, you shall sit from this term forward at an easier rent.
Oh, many thanks to your honor. You're a deuce master, after all.
I would be well advised to be, Steenie. I have no mind in future to be gathered to my father in his appointed place below.
So you may think it ended well for me, sir, with a kinder landlord and a lower rent. But what's forgotten is no forgiven. We had all to sup the sauce to it sooner or later. Sir John Redgauntlet went down in his own blood fighting to bring back Jamie Stewart in 1715. And 'twas there I lost my eye. This son, it ends, Sir Redwald Redgauntlet, oh, he was a rose among the thorns. He loved my tales and my tunes, and he took me, blind as I was, into his own house, and many's the merry year I had known. But wait me. He went out with other pretty men in the 45 and gave his life for Bonnie Prince Charlie. He... I'll say nae mair about it. My head never settled well since I lost him. If I say another word, devil a bar will I have the heart to play this night for my bit dinner. Look ahead there, my gentle sir, kind sir, and tell me if you see the light of broken burn glen.
You have just heard From My Appointed Place Below, based on Wandering Willie's Tale by Sir Walter Scott and dramatized for Nightfall by John Douglas. Featured in tonight's cast was Hugh Webster as Steenie Steenson, with Chris Wiggins as Sir Robert Redgauntlet and John Douglas as Sir John Redgauntlet. You heard Sandy Webster as Dougal McCallum, Frank Perry as Hutchin, and John Bayliss as the Rider in Black. Other voices were by Grant Cowan. The recording engineer was John Jessup, with sound effects by Bill Robinson, and the production assistant was Nancy McElveen. From My Appointed Place Below was produced and directed in CBC Toronto by Fred D.L. The executive producer of Nightfall is Bill Howell. And now, here is a final word from your host.
Hello again. Next week on Nightfall, we'll be taking a motoring trip together along a road on no map.
Oh, here, take this turnoff.
What, this one?
Yeah, it's the shortcut, the old post road.
That's when it started. Feeling of being on another planet. In another time. The Old Post Road. A new play by William Lane, starring Jane Eastwood and Jeffrey Bowes. Radio with a constantly improving sense of misdirection. That's next week on Nightfall. Until then, careful of the edge.
Ah!
That's the horror for this week. Hope you enjoyed today's story. You can find more from Nightfall at RelicRadio.com alongside thousands of other old-time radio episodes. More from the horror, strange tales, science fiction, case closed, all types of stuff, all for free, thanks to your support. If you'd like to help out, visit donate.relicradio.com or click on one of the links on the website. Your support has made it possible for 15 years. Thanks to those who have helped out. Thanks for joining me today. Be back next Saturday with another episode of The Horror.